Well, let's go ahead and stand together. Those of you that are physically able, would you stand with me as we start our session tonight? And I am so thankful for this conference. It's been well attended. I've enjoyed the sessions, and I look forward to sharing with you tonight. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this conference we've been able to experience and be part of. And I just ask tonight that you'll guide my thoughts and the comments and the scriptures we look at. And I pray for each who are under my voice that when they leave here, they could say they've been encouraged by being here in this session. We thank you for the blessings you've showered upon us. And we just pray now that you'll just oversee our time together. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. I invite your attention to go to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. And the title here of our session is Growing Together in the Fourth Quarter of Life. And I'm telling you that the fourth quarter is the best quarter of life, because this is where we grow together. This is where we serve the Lord. Now, this is taken from what we would call a football analogy. In football, there's a first half and there's a second half. And within each half, there's two quarters. So that's what we're going to be looking at. It's an analogy here of a football game of having four quarters. Many games are won or lost in the fourth quarter. If you've watched college football specifically, in the fourth quarter, you'll see players raise four fingers. And why they do that, they say, this is the fourth quarter. This is our quarter. We're going to win the game by doing this tonight. This is ours. So here is how kind of life breaks down. First quarter would be those up to 20 years of age. Second quarter, you'd be 20 to 40 years of age. Third quarter, you'd be 40 to 60 years of age. And the fourth quarter is those that are 60 up to 80. So now, all at once, I want you to tell me what your quarter is. All right, I'll go to three, and then you tell me what quarter you're in. One, two, three.
Four.
Okay. Brother Blair?
Four and a half.
No. No. Brother Blair, you're in overtime. You got to keep your eye on the game clock, though, okay? If you don't know, is it 90?
No, it's about 88.
Okay. Listen, he had a wonderful challenge for us, and I certainly appreciate it. But here's something you may not know. 20% of Americans are actually in the fourth quarter of life. It's actually the fastest growing segment of our population. And our church has really began to identify this. And we have our SALT program, Senior Adults Laboring Together. And why is that? Because so many of them, as Pastor Johnson used to say, they borne the burden in the heat of the day. They're the ones that sacrificed and paid their tithes and helped to have the buildings built and have the buses and the Sunday school material and the dedication of that. And we never want to ignore what that contribution has been to our church. And I appreciate Pastor Armstrong's recognition of that. But look with me now. God's power to change our life here in the fourth quarter. Look in Psalm 90, verse 9. It says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. In other words, our life is like a story. And everybody has different chapters and events that happen in their life. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. 70 and 10 is what?
70.
Exactly. And if by reason or strength, they be 80 years. 80 years are 80. So this is Moses that's writing this psalm 5,000-6,000 years ago and describing really the age limit of us even here today. Yet is there, in our lifetime, there is strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Now, here's a key verse and one we overlook sometimes. We celebrate birthdays by years. But the Bible says, teach us to number what?
Our days.
Our days. We need to make each day count. We never know what a day holds before us. Since November, this coming Tuesday, I will have conducted 10 funerals. Some have been surprises. Some have been older people. Some it was, they were just getting a treatment in the hospital. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. So we want to make sure that our relationship is right with the Lord. We want to make sure that our relationship is right with others. We continue on. It says that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, knowing how to live our life. And then return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. We need to rejoice and be happy each and every day when we get up out of bed. Whoa, I'm thankful that I got out of bed and I'm able to go and to move and to do things. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, the years wherein we have seen evil. So it says there, some will live 70, some will live 80 years. But what we all know, we all face pain and trouble. So how to grow together? I'm going to give you four recommendations here. First of all, recall your feelings. There in verse 10, the days of our years, 70, by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. Pain and trouble is part of our life. Look with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Pain and trouble. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 is what I call sometimes Pandora's box. What I mean by that, the reason why we have death, the reason why we have disease, the reasons why we have accidents, the thing sometimes we see terrible things happen in the world, it's all a result of this in Romans 5, 12. Wherefore is by one man, what? Sin entered into the world. And because sin came into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. Now, in this game of life that I'm talking about, most of us as players, sometimes you are playing and you are playing hurt. Most people say by the time you get to the fourth quarter, and I played football for a number of years, and it is true. You start the game out, you're fresh, your uniform's clean. By the time you get to the fourth quarter, there's grass stains, there's mud. Your body's hurting because you've been hurling yourself against other players. Sometimes in life, we've been bruised. Sometimes we've been battered. Sometimes we've been beaten down. But you know what? We keep playing. We play hurt. And there's some lessons in life. Some people in the fourth quarter, they're dealing with the loss of a mate, someone that they treasured, loved very much. Some health issues have all of a sudden cropped up. And boy, it just seems to put them on the sideline. For some, it's just a loss of sleep or a loss of finances, different things. You experience pain, but you keep playing the game. Why do I say that? There are no quitting places in life. We have to get back up. Listen to what, go with me to the book of Romans. We're going to look at three or four verses here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What do I mean by this? No quitting places in life. Well, first of all, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, here is a tremendous promise. It tells us there is therefore now no condemnation. Once you've come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your sins are forgiven. No longer a condemnation against you. The Bible says if we confess them, he forgives us. He takes our sins and he places them in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered against us no more. So there's no condemnation in your life, which are in Christ Jesus. But there is a principle here, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Now look at Romans 8, 28. This was pointed out in a previous session as well. This is what I say where we have no complication in our life. Whatever comes into our life is what I call father filtered. In other words, God has allowed it to come into our life, correct? As we look at Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together, what? For good. It does not say all things are good. It does not say that. But it does say all things work together for good to who? To them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. Now we have no condemnation. We have no complication. And those of us that here in this fourth quarter of life, I want you to know, ultimately, there's no separation from the Lord. Look with me, Romans 8, verse 35. Aren't you thankful for the salvation you possess? Aren't you thankful that God is sovereign and He's in control of our life? And aren't you thankful as we face the future that there'll be no separation? Look in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? What's tribulation? Tribulation is problems. It's the things that we fight against, it seems like. Or distress. Sometimes we're under a lot of stress. Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're holding up our four fingers because we're in this fourth quarter of life. We are not going to quit. Why? For I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No separation. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
All right, second, learn from your failures. When there's a football game going on, they have a halftime. And the coaches, adjustments are made because there's miscues and there were mistakes, and they learn from them. How many of us would agree we have made our share of mistakes in life? And we're supposed to learn from our mistakes and continue to move forward. This was really revealed to me when I was doing my study for my master's in counseling. And so many times people live with this thought, if only I would have done this. If only I hadn't have done this. If only, if only, if only. And they just seem to beat themselves up, and they seem to get sucked into that really like a typhoon of storm, and they just can't seem to get out of it. And the teacher shared a thought, said, instead of saying if only, why don't you say next time? In other words, hey, you learned. You made a mistake. The Bible says a righteous man stumbleth seven times, but what? But rises up. In other words, we can't stay down. We confess it, we forsake it, and then we begin to move forward. How do we do that? We grow in wisdom. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to men liberally, upbraideth not, it shall be given him. When you're facing something you don't know what to do, ask the Lord. He's promised to give it to you. Ask Him for wisdom. And then the third thing here, you need to lean on your faith. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. We have time to go there. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I always love to do what I call a neighbor nudge whenever I teach. I want you to talk to your neighbor. How would you tell your neighbor, if they said, what is faith? What would you tell them? Take about a minute and talk it over. I'll get some thoughts back here. What is faith? What does that mean? What is faith? Talk it over. Thank you. Okay, we'll take some thoughts here in just a minute. You know, when you walked in here, you exercised faith in a way. You went ahead and sat down in the chair. You didn't pick it up and examine it and see if it's going to hold you. You know, we come in, we turn the lights on. It's a little thing, but by faith, we believe the lights are going to be there. You receive a supplement or an income, maybe through Social Security, and on a certain Wednesday, it's going to be in your account. Boom, by faith, you look, and there it is. Those are little things. But how would you define faith? Anybody want to raise their hand and share here? Stephen?
Belief without evidence.
Belief without evidence. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
Hope.
Hope.
You hope for something and you can't see it and you don't know it's going to happen, but that's how you walk.
You don't know how it's going to happen, but that's how you walk. Did I see it? Jerry?
I actually think it's trusting something with some evidence or some knowledge. Not okay. Without any, but with some. Like, you know, you have faith that if you're driving, you're going to get from point A to point B because other people are going to follow the law.
Okay.
Most of the time.
Okay.
something
sure.
Of that nature. So
sure.
You have to have some foreknowledge of it, but maybe you don't have a complete picture.
Okay. Maybe not have the complete picture. All right. Let's things hoped for, things not seen. But look at verse 6. Without faith. If we're without faith, then it says it's impossible to please him. So if we're going to please God, we have to have faith. For he that cometh to God must believe, first of all, that he is. And do you believe there's God? Yes, obviously you do. And it says, those that believe that he is, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. How has God rewarded your faith? How about salvation? Wouldn't that be number one in the box? He's rewarded us with salvation. What about protection? As Jerry was talking about driving here in the streets of Tucson, it's amazing. How many times has God protected you from something that you have really no idea over? How many of you have spent a night in prayer praying over some physical issue, a health issue, a mental issue, financial issue, and you just bring it to the Lord and he steps in and he begins to meet that. He is a rewarder of those that are willing and diligently seek him. So we need to learn to lean. Look with me now in Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Faith is essential, but we need to learn how to lean. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Most of you could probably quote it with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Learning to lean upon him. See, God has a game plan for us. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Learning to lean. There was a Bill Gaither song that was entitled that, Learning to Lean. I'm learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean upon Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever known, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Is that part of our life? I hope it is, that we're continuing to learn. So we need to recall our feelings. We continue to learn from our failures, and we lean on our faith. And the last one here, the fourth one, as we're coming down to the close, look to your future. What does your future hold for you? As I mentioned, the number of funerals that I've done, death is never convenient. I'll tell you that. It interrupts people's hearts and lives most desperately. But for a believer, death is a doorway. Death is not the end. Death is obviously the beginning because there's a place that's called heaven. And sometime you might take some private reading and read Revelation 21 and 22. Just to think about the description of heaven, a place, the street of gold. It speaks about the gates of pearl. It speaks about the walls and the different descriptions of the jewels. The walls are over 200 feet high. We have our Savior that's there. We have His throne. We have loved ones that have gone on before. And you have 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 that are singing, and all the angels. This is something that we can look forward to. So, how is it that you want your life or your game of life, so to speak, to end? What kind of legacy are you leaving? We named our class Family Legacy Class because that's what we want to do. We want to leave a legacy for those that are coming up behind us. We want to take the baton of faith that we have and turn and pass it on to the younger generation and let them be able to run with it. But here's, if I could capture just one last thing here. It starts with, teach us to number our days. If you'll make each day count, then a week counts. And if a week counts, then a month will count. And if a month will count, then several months will count. And then several months will be a year. And making years count makes our life count. It's really simple. So we want to make sure we number our days. Seize the day. Make it count. Recall your feelings. Learn from your failures. Lean on your faith. Look to the future. Here in Psalms 90, let's look at it just one more time, verses 9 through 15. For all our days are passed away in wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it represent thee and concerning thy servants. Satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, the years wherein you have seen evil. Thank you very much for being here. Let's go ahead and stand together. We'll have a prayer of dismissal here. Stephen Chansley, would you close in a word of prayer? I'm letting you out just a little bit early so you can go to the foyer and get ready to come in. The other class is still going. Brother Steve?